Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be unfamiliar with my voice, I run Building Fortunes Radio. We started it about actually 10 years ago, towards the tail end of 2012, beginning part of 2013. We started Building Fortunes Radio because I wanted a platform to be able to have interesting conversations with people of all natures. We do a lot of stuff with home-based businesses. And the gentleman who is hosting this radio show, his name is Devon, and Devon started off with us as a customer. Actually, he started off way before then, before even as a customer, just a lot of interesting conversations about being an entrepreneur as we were starting our relationship with him becoming a customer. He had a lot of questions about a lot of different things. And I said, you know, as I learned more about your background, more about your situation, there's a lot of people that would really be interested in maybe your perspective on a lot of different things. So we decided that 11 p.m. on Mondays, as many times as we possibly can, we'll do a radio show, and we call it Devon's Input. So tonight, Devon is going to talk about a topic we haven't really talked about too much before, but it's going to be kind of interesting now. So Devon, over to you, and thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you so much, Peter. I have to say to my audience that I haven't done a show in about 3 weeks or so due to the fact that, you know, I took some time off. But like I said, like we're in the winter right now, and, you know, I apologize to my audience. But like I said, my topic today is about public housing. I did a topic about this before last year or so about generalizing people who live in public housing. Now, the reason why I want to do the topic again because, you know, I think it's a big, big problem, not only in New York or the tri-state area, but, you know, the United States, all 51 states. But like I said, the problem with my general argument and my general complaint about people in public housing, you know, it's the same old story with them. You know, it is a much bigger problem that is being disseminated and pervading across the United States. The problem with that is, you know, me and my mother, my brother, my father, my parents, like I said, they bought the house in 1982. And at the time, there wasn't really much nothing there. We lived in Brooklyn, New York. And that's how my mother really knew at the time. And that's until, like I said, she passed away in 2012 of a brain aneurysm. But at the time, we moved there. There was nothing really there at the time. Like I said, it was next to us was a gully, and there was no houses hardly over there and stuff like that. But a year later, I kind of got enrolled, or she enrolled me to the local or the, I don't know, the closest elementary school nearby, 224, stuff like that. So I enrolled there. You know, I was 6 years old at the time, and, you know, like I said, I didn't have any choice but to get enrolled. That's when my mother enrolled me. Like I said, it was just a couple of blocks away. And at the time, you know, her background bringing up, she didn't really have that much education. I mean, she was born in Jamaica, and like I said, she didn't really get the opportunity to, you know, get the higher education. She was a home health aide and stuff like that, and, you know, all she knew was, like, from Brooklyn. That's all she basically knew her life was from Brooklyn, you know, East New York or Sheffield or, I don't know, Brownsville, and I don't know, Carnarvon. That's all she knew all her life. So getting back to 1983, when I first got enrolled in first grade, you know, I kind of fit in. Well, in a way, I kind of did not fit in because I looked a little bit different than most average kids. But at the time, okay, I said to myself, you know, what the heck, the public school is right across the street from the project. So 95% of those people live in the project. I get that. So let's move forward 12 years. So we're back in 1995. So let's say 12 years later, right? I'm 18 years old, right? So I'm going to graduate high school, but I didn't graduate high school. Okay, I understand that. But my problem with them is, at the time, let's say before a year, prior to 1995, let's say 1994, I used to play basketball over their project. You know, they had their basketball courts and stuff like that. So at the time, I wasn't thinking that anything was wrong. I said, I kind of developed an aura about them, like an ambiance about them, you know, saying that I never had any trouble with them before. So I said, let me give them the benefit of the doubt. So I used to play basketball over there, not thinking a year later, you know, people that I didn't know or didn't go. Peter, are you still there? Can you hear me, Peter?
Yep. You're doing fine.
Okay. And then I got the sense, you know, people were talking about my back and stuff like that. So I said to myself, in reality, okay, let's move forward. We're in 2023, okay. I was 28 years ago. So let's move back to 1995. So thinking to myself that why would I play basketball if people were talking about my back? I'm not there for that. I'm just there to play basketball and then make a little small sort of conversation with people. You know what I'm talking about, right, Peter? So
sure.
I said to myself, What in the world is going on? People talking about how my back, people I never saw before talking about how my back. So I said to myself, I don't want to be there, because if I knew that, I wouldn't want to be in the first place. I would have went somewhere if I could play basketball and just talk to people regular. Well, what's the sense of going here? People want to talk behind your back. You don't know what they're saying, but they'll be planning to kill you. You don't know. You know what I'm saying, right, Peter? They'll be conspiring to kill you or something like that. So I left that place a long time. I left that place in August of 1995. Okay. So I have a big problem with Project People, and let's continue. So I moved to my grandmother's house, like I said, in August 1995. So she lived in public housing. I get that. She lived in public housing. That's my mother's mother's. Okay, my grandmother. Me and my brother's grandmother. Okay, I get that. So in public housing, I said to myself, well, let me just stay here for a year or two. Okay. People in the project, you see, and like I said, I used to play basketball. They used to have something named the pit. And the pit is like a basketball area where you play basketball. Okay, the pit. I knew that since I was born over there. I was born 1977 in May 14th. I don't want to give them my old information, but I was born 1977. I don't want to give them my brother's information out. Okay. So I said to myself, you know, these people, I knew for 1 or 2 years, but like I said, I didn't know what it was going to add up to this stuff. I didn't know it was going to, this stuff was going to make some big damn deal about it. So I said, well, so let me just play basketball here. Then next, you know, a year later, I'm in school, or in 1996, I was in school in 1996. Okay, I was in school in 1996. So I said to myself, you know, project people are project people. You know, they don't really have the opportunity like most people get to go to college because they're dumb and they don't get the opportunity to pursue their dreams because they don't get that kind of chance in life. For example, people see people from the project and they think, you know, when they go on interviews, some people in the project, you don't know how to do basic stuff like tie a tie or create a resume, and they don't have the money for people to do that for them. So they're stuck. You see, like you told me before, Peter, that being in the project or being born in the project is like a death sentence. It's like a death sentence because there's no way out. So, and a lot of people, they don't have the confidence that they can get their way out. So like I said, it's a big trap from the get-go. It's a big trap, and there's no way out. So like I said, so I said to myself, you know, I'm just going to stay here. So in 1997, when I went to school, I went to school in Brooklyn in 1992, our college in Brooklyn, okay. So I found out when they were spreading rumors about me and stuff like that, I said, well, this don't make no sense. So the people in public housing who I used to associate with, at the time, they trained me at the time, just like the people over East New York. So I figured, well, I don't need to be here. I don't need to be, what's this thing? I don't need to be. So I stopped talking to those people a long time ago at the time. So let's go back. So let's go to December 1997. That's when I got sick. So a little bit over 25 years ago, that's when I got sick. So I was a college student. I was doing fine at the time. So out of the blue, out of thin air, the following night, I was okay. Like I said, when I say the following night, I mean the night before, I was okay. When I wake up in the morning, out of thin air, out of the blue sky, I start hearing voices. So I said, what's going on? And hearing a corneal sensation, so I'm seeing pictures just like that. I never saw pictures before in my life. I never had a problem with the corneal sensation or hearing voices. I said, what's going on? So I said, this is, I don't know what the hell is going on. So I'm stunned at the time. I'm stunned at what's going on. So just to get to the point, I figure it's people from the project doing that stuff. That's why I have a bad resentment against them, people from the public housing. Because I figure 98% of that stuff has to do with people from public housing, and that's what my show is about today. They're scums of the earth, in my opinion. Now, I mean, that may be too strong of a word, but that's my opinion. They're scum. You see, they're beneath the earth's surface. You see, they're scum. You see, they're scum. You see, and like I said, you may have a different perception of them, because, like I said, in your perception, Peter, you didn't have to go through that with them, so you're going to have a different perception. You might say, well, not all project people are like that, because you didn't have to deal with that stuff. So your perception is different than mine. Or, like I said, Peter, I don't want to cause any controversy, but like I said, just to say I hate Chinese people, you're going to feel a different way because you didn't have any bad experience with Chinese people, so you're not going to hate Chinese people. Maybe you have a bad experience with Mexicans, so you hate Mexicans. And I'm not going to hate Mexicans. I didn't have that experience with Mexicans, so it can go either way. So like I said, with me and project people, I just feel, you know, like I say, if you're struggling 1 or 2 years, that's more typical. But to struggle your whole life and delivering a project for 70, 80 years and not to market anything, it's just as, like, it's not, they live at the Ramada or the Taj Mahal or the Sheraton. They live in public housing. They live in projects. You see, it's projects. See? So it's a trap from the get-go because, you know, negativity, low self-esteem, low expectations, drugs, crime, you know, all that stuff they have to deal with, gangs, guns, you know, all that stuff they have to deal with. So it's really hard to get. I understand it, but you should stay positive. You should have at least 1 or 2 role models in your life. You understand that, right, Peter?
Sure.
You should have at least 1 or 2 role models in your life. Somebody's positive. If it's not your parents, maybe a friend, maybe a teacher, you know, somebody like that, you know. But like I said, they're too negative. Everything about them is negative. They're very, very, very negative and very disrespectful people, very disrespectful. They disrespect women. You know, all they do, this is my perception of them. All they do is listen to rap music. I say this all the time, and I know it's fact. It may be an opinion, but in my view, it's fact. That's why I don't associate with them. All they do is listen to rap music. They stoop down to people's level. They condescend. They're very deceitful. The same old story with them. The same. They waste their life away. They want you to waste your life away. The same old story with them. That's all they do. They're illiterate. Like I say, 99 of 100 African American people can't read. I don't want to be associated with it because I'm just wasting my time. I knew that over 25 years, and you're just wasting your time with them. So, like I said, on today's topic, you know, like I said, with me, it's like they put me in stuff against my will that I don't want to be a part of. Like I said, they kind of get me involved in a situation where I didn't know I shouldn't be involved in that stuff. You know, they kind of lure me or guard me into the situation without my approval. And I don't have to deal with that stuff. And that's my diatribe with them. That's my diatribe. That's my criticism. Because like I said, all they want to do is just put their life to just dwindle away and attrition, you know, just to dwindle away each and every day. And they want you to dwindle away because they're dumb and stupid. I hate this stuff so much. I'm tired of saying the same stuff all the time, Peter. I'm tired of saying the same stuff all the time. Every single day is the same old problem with these people. Every single day. I mean, the children, they don't know nothing because their parents didn't teach them nothing. You know, everything you have to do for them, you have to tell them everything. They don't know nothing. I say this all the time, Peter. I say this all, and that's why I'm doing this show again about project people like I did last year. All the children do is the children, suppose they're 6 years old and they're in elementary school, they get left back 4 times in elementary school. And when they go to intermediate school, they get left back another 2 times. And then when they go to high school, they're 20 years old as a freshman. Then in the next year, when they're a sophomore, they get thrown out because they legally come of age. They're 21, and they go for it. It's the same old story with these people. And then, like I said, this topic, I mean, I'm just wasting my time talking about it. Like I said, nothing's ever going to change. I mean, you know. And I was just wondering, Peter, what's your perspective on? I mean, it bores me because, like I said, you're not gaining real with these people. It's just the same old story. So what's your kind of outline on the topic? I know you're going to have a different kind of perception of them, because you didn't experience nothing bad with them before, as far as I know. So you have a different kind of view about it. But what's your perspective of it? Could you please tell me about what's your idea or concept or notion about those type of people? I don't know.
Sure. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's take our little commercial break first, and then we'll come back, and we're talking with Devon on Devon's input. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networklead.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Devon on Devon's input, and he's asking me questions about, you know, my perspective or experiences with people in the projects. So I guess we should probably identify for the people that might be listening in that we both grew up in New York, and I think projects or public housing in major bigger cities are probably different than maybe some that are done in rural areas. And there is really nothing like New York. And maybe bigger cities like Chicago or Detroit or maybe Cleveland or stuff like that might be similar as far as that perspective. But what I find is those areas, and my wife's mom's family was one that grew up and had a tendency of staying stuck in that, we're going to call it an ecosystem, or I'll call it an ecosystem. I know you sometimes use a different word. They have a tendency of kind of getting stuck there, like it's a mentality or a mindset. And although some people can kind of move beyond that, a lot of people just don't. So you have people that grew up in the, you know, I don't know what, you know, some people might call it like a ghetto. That might be, I hate to say, I'm using racist words. It's Martin Luther King Day, and we're using racist kind of words, but that's what it was called way back when I was kind of growing up. So if somebody was in that type of public housing, ghetto, Section 8, if you will, they had a tendency of staying there. So no education. It was cooler to be cool than to do well in school. So when I was working with encyclopedia sales, it was a big problem with the public schools that the kids wouldn't want to even, you know, either go to school or appear to be smart, because being smart was actually frowned upon, like it was anti-establishment or stuff along that line. So there's a real tendency for people to be you know, gangster type mentality. So that of course breeds a whole bunch of other issues as well: teenage pregnancy, single mom families, drugs, lack of education, all that sort of stuff, low income, stealing mentality as well, being on the public dole, they might call it, as far as food stamps or other things, like I said, Section 8 for housing. And unfortunately, it wound up being a very vicious trap for a lot of people. So not for everyone, and I hope I don't sound anything other than just like telling it the way a lot of people would see it from my perspective, but that's kind of like the way it was. So whether they were Puerto Rican or black or any other kind of a nationality, once they were in there, they were stuck in that ecosphere or ecosystem, if you will, and that was really a shame. So when I was in the both the vacuum cleaner and the books business, encyclopedia specifically, it was really sad because the kids, when they were younger, kind of didn't know any better. And they were, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and they were smart and really anxious towards learning. And then that was when they were preteen. I'm sorry, not preteens. Pre-elementary school into elementary school, and then something kind of changed. You know, after they were more hardened by society, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, some of them were just flat out mean and very tough. So, and I think a lot of that might have had something to do with survival purpose as well. Now, some people might maybe, and I'm going to kind of bring this back to what you said about your situation, some people might actually think that maybe there is a psychosis that starts to happen when people are in that environment, like they talk about with the vaccines and the other things that are happening with mass hypnotism, like maybe with the Holocaust. There's a mass psychosis that might happen, and I think that definitely is something that is prevalent in the mindset of people that are in those types of situations. So you can comment on anything that I might have mentioned, Devon, but that's my perspective. And fortunately for me, I had plenty of opportunities to visit the projects, never lived in one. So, you know, drove past plenty, worked in some as far as tangentially, maybe for a couple hours as I was either selling or visiting or servicing somebody that might have been in those areas, delivering something perhaps, but really never lived there. And tough place to live, and I'd like to hear your feedback.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pete. But my kind of insight on that is that, you know, it's the same old story with them. But like I said, what I believe is, you know, those two, you know, usually, you know, people who live in those type of environments, you know, the typical people are, you know, the average or normal people, they usually try to, but this is my kind of way of looking at it. You know how usually when you live in a poor environment, you try to say, well, I want to get myself out of that environment somehow. Like everybody knows that everybody's going to make their way out of that environment. But like I said, you know, the majority of people say, well, you know, I'm going to work and, you know, even if it's a trade or something, I'm going to get myself out of that kind of environment, either negative and stuff like that. But like I said, now it's becoming more, prevalent more than ever that a lot of people are still staying in that same poor environment. And that's something you didn't see like 30, 40, 50 years ago. You see, a lot of people are staying in that same environment and they're not moving away from that stuff. And I don't know what it's caused from. I don't know, more people are probably, maybe more people are, maybe less jobs or less kind of way of getting ahead in life. I don't think so. Because like I said, if you're going to college, there's a lot of technology out now where, you know, they've been doing this, 20, 25 years, going to school online and everything, and commuting has been tossed out like 15, 20 years ago as virtual stuff. Everything's virtual now. Everything's virtual now. And like I said, business, everything's virtual. So there's a lot of technology out. So, but I don't know what's keeping them from stopping from achieving their goal. Maybe they're not as bright as they were. Maybe people are not as bright as they were 30, 40, 50 years ago. It could be that too. Maybe disability is a big factor. Maybe people are getting more sicker than they were, like I said, 40, 50, 60. It could be several things. So like I said, my my kind of way of looking at it is just that, you know, my mentality, or they have that, you know, there's no water, because like I said, you don't have the confidence also. You don't have the confidence that they can actually make their way out of the project. Because like I said, when they're born in a project, their parents don't really teach them, you know, how to achieve their goal from an early age. You know, they want to live a normal life. See, because an example, where I'm coming from in East New York, for example, when like you're 10, 11, 12 years old, you don't teach them, well, when you get this certain age, when you're 16, you know, you start thinking what you want to be in life. You're 16, even 15 years old. That's what most typical parents do. They go past that, and they're complacent all the time. They're complacent. They're satisfied with getting by with GED and a high school diploma. So they're complacent, and they're contingent depending upon their parents all their lives. They continue, you see. That's why you have to depend on their parents to take care of all their lives, because I don't know. It's more of a weakened down, or more watered down, I say it's like a watered down generation than, you know, before, you know. So, you know, some people, you know, I don't know, some people, they're comatose or they're in a trance or like in some stage in their life where they're kind of coma, but they're still alive, you know. But like I said, it's just that I feel there's no way for them to get out of that situation. If you don't have confidence in yourself, then nobody can build confidence. They can prop you up or kind of give you compliments and say that you can do this, you can do that, but if you don't believe you can do that stuff, it doesn't make any sense in the first place. So why even try that stuff? So like I said, my way of looking at things, Peter, is that, you know, I figure a long time ago that where I live in public housing, and there's public housing all over the place. And like Peter, are you listening? You still there, Peter?
Yep, we're fine, yep.
Yeah, so like I said, Peter, not only do I want to start several businesses, Peter, you know, I want to be successful. Like I said, the place I live in now, right, it's a house, but it's like a place where they have a bunch of rooms and stuff like that, but that's not where I want to be. Like I said, well, the people who live here, they kind of want to live in that kind of realm. Because like I said, the people who live here, they have no education, and they're dumb and stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm moving out here before February 1st, so probably January 30th, I'm gone. I'm moving somewhere else. I think I'm living in a hotel for a couple of days or even a couple of weeks or so. And my idea is places I wanted to go before I was supposed to get my business started real soon, the places that I wanted to go all this time, I'm going to get that funny opportunity. I said that a long time ago, just that, you know, I kind of took life for granted a little bit. I kind of took life for granted. I didn't kind of really act on moving or going to those places that I should have gone to. So like I said, I'm going to all those places that I want to go in the past. I can drive to all those places, California, Arizona, Utah, Texas, Nevada, all the places I want to go. I plan to go to at least 45 of the all 50 states I want to go to, you know. And I hope that I can travel, because I have big plans coming up, Peter, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to tell anybody about that stuff, because like I said, everything should work out for itself. Everything should work out for itself. I'm not telling anybody anything, because I don't want to jinx myself. I don't want to jinx myself or put a hex on myself, you know, you understand. So, like I said, just to wrap up the show, I want to move out. Like I said, I don't live in public housing. I haven't gone in any public housing place in about, what was it now, 25, 26 years, you know. So, you know, people who live here, you know. So anyway, I'm just to wrap up the show. Hopefully everything should work out for itself real soon, and I get to accomplish my goals and my dreams like I always did or always wanted to do the last 15, 20 years. And just a closing argument, Peter. I hope everything works out with you and your family. And thanks for everybody to listen to Pagan's input. Thank you so much, Peter.
Excellent. Okay, good. Well, thanks for being on the radio show. Welcome back. And we're going to catch you in the next week or two. And for everybody listening in, if you want to hear this again, if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Devon, you'll be able to hear this radio show all over again. Thanks, everyone. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.